Voices of Hope is a nonprofit committed to inspiring a sense of community and well-being in hospitals through the donation of athletic jerseys to be worn by patients rooting for their favorite team. In the past 7 years, Jerseys of Hope has given out over 2,000 jerseys to lift the spirits of hospital patients. They have impacted the needy in 4 countries and 11 states. Please visit jerseysofhope.org to learn more. We're so honored to partner with Jerseys of Hope and be a small part of the large impact they make. Welcome to the Unscripted Podcast. This is Caitlin. Each episode, my Uncle Aaron interviews guests that are living their lives unscripted. The song you are hearing is the music from our dear friends, Tori and Shauna. You can find their music wherever you stream your favorite songs. For now, from his studio, here's my Uncle Aaron.
All right, welcome back to Unscripted from my studios in Hilliard, Ohio, powered by Jerseys of Hope. It's a Friday. It's a Friday night. It's almost Friday football night. Tony, why don't you introduce yourself, man, and we'll just run.
Yeah, Tony Miltenberger from Centerville, Ohio, home of the Elks. Speaking of Friday night football, my senior's going to be playing linebacker tonight. We're so excited for football here in Southwest Ohio. I'm a pastor and a disciple maker, and I also own my own coaching and strategic planning business, in addition to doing some podcasting for the last 4 or 5 years. And yeah, it's an honor to be here. I love your show. I've listened to a couple episodes, and we got some mutual friends, and it's just it's a complete honor to be here today.
Man, I appreciate that, and it is an honor to have you on. It's funny, though, we were just talking offline, the world, podcasting world, the world's very small. Stephen Wright once said, the world is very small, but I wouldn't want to have to paint it. And I always like that line because I think it's pretty funny. But the podcasting world is even smaller, so maybe we would want to paint that because it's not very big and a lot of people know each other. So this last week or within, you'll have to tell the story, but my college roommate, my bestie, my BFF, and you apparently had coffee, and here we are today. So do you want to tell that story, how this all happened?
Yeah, so I was coaching this amazing executive, Christian executive, and just talking about how God is working in his life. And then he goes and he has coffee with your college bestie, and they're meeting together. And he's like, you got to meet this guy, Tony Miltenberger, blah, blah, blah. You know, I appreciate his hype, which is always fun. And then he was like, oh, I know Tony's family because our middle kids, our middle boys play basketball together, seventh grade basketball. And so, Me and Chris hooked up for coffee, and an hour and a half later, we're laughing, crying, and pouring our guts out in the name of Jesus and just connecting. And he was like, you've got to meet Aaron. And as it turns out, we end up knowing one of the episodes that's coming up on the Reclamation Podcast is a known guest to your audience, Gary Miracle Jr. I got to read his latest book coming out, and we interviewed, and it was just a fantastic conversation. And that was a great connection. And then I went back and listened to your episode with him, and that was straight fire.
Well, he's been on a few times, so it depends on which one you listen to. The first one, man, it was gold. And that's where I met Gary, you know, just happened to send him an email, and the guy said, yeah, I'll be on. And the rest is history as far as Gary Miracle. He's a good dear friend. Matter of fact, slept on a mattress in this studio where we're talking, talking to you from right now. Man, he's been at my house. I've been at his. I love that guy. And I'm a little jealous, honestly. You read the book. I haven't seen it yet. How do I not have a copy of Gary Miracle's book?
Well, so sometimes you're too close, right?
I'm like, bro, man, send me a copy of the book. And then you and I were talking offline. What's even funnier is his publisher. I knew his publisher probably 10 years ago, stayed at his house.
Yeah.
And the world's just very small, as we said. So anyway, let's start at the very beginning. Gary is a wonderful man. I can't wait to hear that episode because he's a great interview. And man, his story, I saw it on Facebook today, 1.7% chance to live.
Wow.
And he is here today. So and what he's doing for God is incredible. So let's start at the beginning. First, you mentioned you're a pastor. Let's start there and just keep moving forward. You're a pastor. Where are you a pastor?
Yeah, so I pastor at a church in Centerville called Centerville Grace, and kind of the the long story short of it is I grew up Catholic, loved Catholicism, and met my wife. We're high school sweethearts. We got 21 years married, and I enlisted in the Army Reserves as a chaplain's assistant and got to do ministry with the Army all over the world. I got to go to some really exotic places, Kuwait, Iraq, El Salvador, Minnesota, like just places that are just wild. Yes.
I like how you slid Minnesota in there. That's classic.
Hey, look, I was in Minnesota. Tundra. I was in Minnesota, and the guy who was mentoring me drove me out on the ice in a dually. And it was me, and there was an older guy in the front. His dad was in the front, and then his two sons were in the back, and I was in the middle back. And I'm in my young 20s at this point in time in my life, and he drove this dually out on the ice. And I thought, well, this is it. I'm going to die in watery grave in between two 10-year-olds, and no one is going to find my body ever. And we fished in a shanty out there. And he was like, do you want pizza? We can get it delivered out here. And I was like, Minnesota's just built different.
It is built different. It is. First of all, thank you for serving our country. Thank you for serving our country, no matter what capacity, because it's guys like you and everyone else that puts their life on the line. And I will never in my mind be able to understand how someone can care enough about me, not even knowing me, to put their life on the line in places like Iraq and maybe even Minnesota. But that being said, thank you for your service.
You're welcome.
I genuinely mean that. I can't thank anyone that has served our country enough.
Yeah, it was really great, actually. And it was the Army that really propelled me into ministry. People who haven't been in ministry don't know this, but the church is probably the closest thing that I've ever found to the Army. If you think about it, you'll make the connections, right? If you went to a men's breakfast, if you're a Christian and you ever been to a men's breakfast, if I put this on the back of the shirt, you'd buy it today. I'll always place the mission first. I'll never accept defeat. I'll never quit. I'll never leave a fallen comrade. Mm. Right? That's the warrior ethos. But truthfully, it's also very common in what we see in Christian community. And so when I was trying to figure out what I wanted to be when I grew up, and there was an opportunity to do ministry at a big, large church, it was the closest thing I ever found to the Army. And that had good and bad repercussions for me. Like, it was some of my biggest regrets in life, and we can go into if you want, came in that season of my life while I was ministering. And it, you know, I quickly realized that I had some real coping problems and just trying to figure out what that meant.
So I spent 8 months in ministry myself. That's a whole nother podcast for another day. But one of the things that I realized, and I don't know if this is true for you, but what I walked away with after many years of reflection is that ministry is, you know, especially for men, if you're listening and you're a male, you probably understand this. You have kind of three legs on a stool of your life. One, if you're a believer, that's one leg. And if you're not, then good luck, because you need that one. Two is your family, if you have one. And your third is your job. And so you have your job, your faith, and your family. Those are your three legs on the stool. And when you go into ministry, what I found was that two of those legs become one. Your job and your faith are now very much interconnected, and you're teetering. I mean, if you've tried to ever sit on a two-legged stool, good luck, right? You know, and you may pull it off for a while, but maybe not forever. And then if anything happens in your job in ministry, that leg gets swept, and now you're left with your family. And they, hopefully that is strong enough to support you while you get those other two legs back. That's what I found, and I found it to be true. So when I see someone fail or fall in ministry, I always look to that.
Yeah, I'll say for me, one of the things that happened is I began to put my entire identity on that one leg, like you mentioned. And, you know, the thing is when you end up doing that, when you fall extra hard, because not only do you put your identity in that, but it's a righteous indignation kind of identity. And so, like, hey, honey, it's okay for me to work late because I'm doing it for the Lord. Or, hey, babe, I don't have to be there for the kids because I, you know, this person over here, I got to leave the 99 and go get the one, right? Like, and while that is true, it all has to be in balance. And so when you find success at work and you haven't dealt with your own demons in terms of your coping mechanisms, you end up in a spot that feels a lot like quicksand. I'm struggling really hard to get out. And the more that I struggle, the deeper I go. And for me, and I don't mind saying it because I hope it helps someone. For me, that came in the event of an emotional affair, right? I was a pastor at a church, and I was working, and I was working beside somebody, and she was a wonderful young lady and super kind. And one of the things that happened is we just became closer than we should have. I didn't have good boundaries. It was my entire identity. And then one day there was another pastor, a guy, young man that friends with, James Keith Posey is his name. And I went to him and I said, dude, I don't know how to end this. Like, I'm in a bad way here.
Mm.
And he said something that changed my life forever. He said, I'm going to help you. And I was like, great. You're going to tell her to stop, and you're going to hold me accountable every day. He goes, no, I'm going to really help you. And I was like, what is it? He said, if you don't tell your wife tonight, I'm going to tell her tomorrow.
Wow.
And that one moment probably it saved my family, because I was going down a path that I couldn't come back from. Yeah. And we were like two drunks in a bar telling each other to stop drinking, because our hearts weren't, we didn't wake up one day and say, oh, let's ruin our lives.
Right.
Let's ruin my life. Right. It was a series of unchecked boundaries that eventually led me to a place that stripped away all the identity I thought I had.
And that's why you were in ministry, right?
Yeah.
Is that what you said?
Yeah. I was pastoring at the time. I was on staff, and we had to go to the lead pastor and confess and repent and go through a plan and all the things. And in hindsight, right now, 10 years later, I can look back and say, thank God for this gift, because it reset every boundary that I thought I had in my life. It reset every discipline I thought I had in my life.
Hey everyone, this is Caitlin again. One of the biggest questions we receive is, how do you make money on a podcast? The answer that my uncle gives is, you don't. We set up unscriptedmerch.com to be a warehouse for products and partners to sell merch and spirit items. Each purchase helps this podcast. Find out more and order some merch at unscriptedmerch.com. Use code UNSCRIPTED20 and receive 20% off all of your order. Now let's get back to today's episode.
10 years ago, my wife and I started doing something that is the number one thing I recommend now when I'm doing marriage counseling, which is pray with your spouse. Physically pray together every night. Pray over each other. Now, I ask God every day to protect my wife's head and heart. And even if we're over the phone, right? When I've been traveling, or, you know, various seasons of life, praying together has become the anchor. You know how hard it is to stay mad at somebody you got to pray for every day?
Yeah, right.
Grace
right.
abounds. Wow. Grace abounds in those moments.
Well, I want to go back to something you said, and that's incredible. And thank you for sharing that, especially because we've never literally met besides the next like 15 minutes, the past 15 minutes. It's incredible that you would share that, something so honest.
I'll say this, right? Like, and I heard this from Annie Downs, who's another Christian podcaster. Mm-hmm. She runs a show called That Sounds Fun. I call her the queen of Christian podcasting. And one of the things that she says that's resonated deep inside of me, and might be a good check for somebody who's listening today, is that it's perfectly okay to have a private life, but it's never okay to have a secret life.
Mm.
And so if you don't have somebody in your life right now that you can call up and share the deepest depths of your soul, in the Wesleyan tradition that I grew up in, Methodist, you know, we would call these band meetings, right? Where you go and you confess your sins to someone. And it's also a really cool way to say I'm in the band, but like, it's not that kind of band, but
rock on. More
such
combo.
A nerd. But you know, like a private life and a secret life. There are a lot of things that the internet doesn't know about me, but there's nothing in the world that somebody doesn't know about me.
Mm. It's so crazy, man. Like, I can't believe that God's brought us this moment. So I'll tell you another story. Again, we'll talk about Chris Mastin for a minute. I used to commute from Columbus to Indianapolis every week. And I remember one time I called Chris Mastin. There's the theme here, and that's that I got a lot of issues. So I remember
welcome
I called,
to humanity. Yeah.
Sorry, I got issues, man. And if you don't know me, you don't know. But if you do, you probably know. Anyway, I called Chris Mastin. And I said, man, I need you to know this. Man, what you said just is so powerful, because I said, I need you to know this. And if I die one of these times on my way to Indianapolis, I need somebody to know this. And I need my wife and my kids to know this. And I actually, what I shared with them was how much I loved and appreciated and loved being a their dad and loved being her husband. I'm trying not to get choked up. It's on brand for me. But, you know, I just told him, I need you to know this, because I need you to tell them this if they don't already know. And so, you know, part of that's for me. I need to make sure that they know. But at the same time, just like to your point, man, that's that secret life, maybe those secret thoughts, secret things that maybe we think we express and we don't, that I told my BFF so that someday he can tell my kids. And hopefully I've lived my life in a way that they don't ever ask and my wife doesn't ever wonder. But if they ever do on that fateful day, I hope he can share that story with them.
Well, one of the things that I do now in ministry and in my coaching business is I work with a lot of people around this idea of their wound. And so one of the theories that kind of God has really just shown me over the last couple of years is that every person in the world is wounded, right? In the theological seminary world, we'd call it the epistemic consequence of sin, right? Another way to say it is that we're all broken, right? And you guys have all heard that before. But the truth is that somewhere between the ages of 4 and 12, every human develops a wound. And that wound is then with us for the rest of our lives. Mm-hmm. And this process of life is getting to know our wounds so that the wound no longer gets to make a decision in who we are. Mm-hmm. Right? And here's a great way to test your wound, right? Because I know you're listening. You're like, I don't know if I have a wound. Anytime your emotional intensity on a scale from 1 to 10 spikes above a 6, it's always more about you than it is the other person. And most likely, someone has bumped up against the wound.
Wow.
Now, this is where it gets crazy, all right? This is where it gets crazy. That emotional intensity can be good or bad. Mm-hmm. So Connor, my oldest son, let's say tonight he's playing middle linebacker against Dublin Kaufman. He rips one off from the middle of the field, pick 6, and I go in and I lose my mind on the sidelines. Yeah, God, you know, I'm flipping out, right? Well, at this point in time, my emotional intensity has now spiked above a 6, and it's more about me than it is about him. Same thing's true if I'm driving on 70, right, going to Indianapolis from Centerville, right, and a car cuts me off and I lose my mind, it's more about me than it is about him. And so then wisdom, this is where it gets crazy, right? Wisdom is learning to understand the edges of your wound so they no longer have authority to make decisions in your life.
Wow. Wow. Can you say that again? For somebody that's driving.
Learning the edges of your wound so that it no longer has the authority to make decisions in your life. See, I think one of the big mistakes that we make, and I see it a lot in the world today, is we feel our feelings, and then we give them authority when they're not meant to have authority. They're just meant to be felt. God gave us feelings as this beautiful gift. And it's really just to be aware, to wisdom. You know what I mean? Like, it's just awareness. It's kind of a gift in that regard. And so, you know, helping guys find their wound and kind of sort through that, guys and gals find their wound, is one of the things that has brought me so much joy. And here's what's crazy. If you want to get a picture of how God works so beautifully as he redeems our wounds. So if you're not sure what your wound is, look at your greatest gift in the world. And on the other side of your gift is the wound. So Aaron, for example, what's the greatest gift that you think that you give to the world?
Man, I don't know. I don't know. I would need time to unpack that.
Yeah.
I'm the most self-deprecating person you're probably ever going to meet. And I get that a lot. So There you go. Like
I
mean that genuinely. So, like I don't know. I can tell you something I'm proud that I do. I don't know that. So that's probably on the other side of my wound. I don't know.
Well, let me say this, right? From what I know about Chris and what I know about Gary, I'm going to guess two things. I'm going to guess one, you have the ability to see people in ways that other people don't. Mm. And two, you're intensely loyal.
Absolutely.
Right? So I would say those two things are no-brainers just from spending 15, 20 minutes with you, right? Like, so you see people and you're loyal. So what does that mean? It probably means that somewhere in your childhood, you didn't feel seen and you didn't feel like the people in your life were around.
My goodness, dude. How much do I owe you?
Well, is it accurate? I mean, help us out here. Yeah.
You. I got to turn the iPad around and put the tip thing on. I got to click it because goodness sakes, bro. This podcast is going places I didn't know it was even going to go. But yeah, I think that's fair. I think it's very fair and probably anybody listening too. And I think most people listening probably know their wound maybe better than they know what's on the other side of it. Is that fair to say?
Yeah. I think the hard part is that anytime you're working with somebody, it's hard to say, tell me about the worst part of your life.
Right, tell me your wound. Like, show me your wound.
So it's a little easier to pursue like, hey, what's the gift, right? Mm-hmm. And then on the other side is the wound. But the reality is that I just haven't met anybody who's not wounded, including my own son, who I am the primary person who's wounded him. Right. I saw that you took your daughter to college recently on Instagram, right? His beautiful pictures, and you guys look like you had a great time. And the reality is that no matter how great a parent you were, right, she still came out wounded because the world is broken. Mm-hmm. And so it's permission now. Now that our goal as parents is to give her and my son permission to feel their wounds and say, I'm sure that I had something to do with this. And I love you even with your wound.
I think as a dad, what I tried to always do was say, I was sorry.
Yeah.
I think that was the most important thing I could do. Cause I, like you said, I'm going to wound them. I've read Wild at Heart. I get it. Like, I understand the wound. I understand we all do it. And as much as I wanted to be a great dad, there was days where I just didn't have a good day or whatever. And when those days happened, I tried to sit at the edge of the bed and say, I'm sorry. I got that one wrong. That's on me. Don't carry this one. It's on me. It's my fault. I think that was maybe one of the best things I could have done. And even then, I probably didn't do it right because the wound still exists. But hopefully, I helped triage it a bit.
Well, the thing is, right? Like, if we're not going to get out alive, so we're not going to get out without wounding them. I mean, we're still not going to get out alive, but we're not going to get out without wounding them. So then it stands to reason. When we purposely try to stop one wound, another wound opens up, right? And so every parent doesn't want to hand down the wounds that they received because that hurt.
Right.
And so instead, we're going to wound them in a different way because it's the epistemic consequence of sin. It's brokenness in the world. It's just how humans work. If you're in a relationship with someone from zero to adulthood, at some point, they're going to feel hurt. And so the goal is to give them permission to feel their feelings and say, I see you, I see your wound, and I love you regardless, right? And I'm sorry for my part in that, which to your credit, you've already done. Mm-hmm. And so now the key is, as we get older, we want wisdom, right? So we want to be able to say, this wound no longer defines me. And that's what a wise person looks like. A wise person says, oh, they're bumping up against that part of my life that I don't always like to share. A wise person says like, oh man, that person walked in and really lambasted me about this thing that I thought I did right and I didn't. And now my feelings are really hurt. But guess what? They might still be right. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, I don't have to lose my cool because I know whose I am, right? Like I know the identity and the redemption part of my story as much as I know the wound. And so, you know, it's a fascinating exercise if, really, you know, if people ever want to go down that road.
Well, I think we're going to have to do a whole series based on this alone. And, you know, we're 25 minutes in and we haven't even talked about a lot of the things I want to talk about with you and let you talk about, you know, what it is that you do. Cause we're doing a little podcast swap here. So I'm going to apparently be a guest on yours, which I've only done two other podcasts. Cause I don't like to be the guy on the other side of the microphone. If that makes sense. Like, I don't like to be interviewed. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of what we talked about.
It's because of your wound. Absolutely it is, right? Because you want to be able to see people and you're afraid you're not going to be seen the way you want to. It's great.
Yeah. It's my daughter and I watched the Lewis Capaldi documentary on Netflix.
I haven't seen it. Yeah.
It's really good, but be ready for like more F-bombs than you've ever heard in your entire life because he just likes to use the F-bomb. But at the same time, there was an amazing point in there. And I don't, man, we're way off track. But he talked about the imposter syndrome.
Mm.
And I had never heard that before in my life. And I'm watching this guy, and I don't know if you know his story. Like when he first came out, he was pretty normal, singing these powerful ballads and everybody loves him. He's kind of like Ed Sheeran, you know? And he felt so much pressure because of the imposter syndrome to continue to always nail it every time, always be the guy that everybody wanted, that Lewis Capaldi that everybody loves and buys all his albums. So much so that they, and I may not get this right, but he now has had to shut it down like three times, two or three times, completely shut down because apparently he had like Tourette's and it was dormant until the stress of just that imposter syndrome. Anyway, it's sad to watch him perform now because he's got so many tics and things that he's just battling. It's crazy what the human body can do. But that being said, like I'd never heard of the imposter syndrome. And as soon as I heard it, I just looked at my daughter and I was like, man, I got that. You know, I didn't need to go to somebody to tell them I got that. Like you just always that feeling of I got to have the best podcast ever. I have to make this one better than the last one. The graphics have to be better. The logo has to be better. The studio needs to look, whatever it is. Like, it's just this crazy. I'd never heard of that before. And I think that's probably on the other side of my wound. Anyway, there you go.
How much
do I owe you?
so think about this, right? So think about this. Your podcast is excellent because of your wound.
I wouldn't say excellent, but it's.
I have one. I'm 278 episodes into my own. I've listened to yours. It's excellent, right? Like, so
thank you.
You perform at a certain level. You show up in the world today. That's God's redemption of your wound.
How about that?
And so God loves us so much that he doesn't leave us where we are. He takes us to where he thinks we can be if we're brave enough to follow him, if we're brave enough to say yes and to surrender control and to realize, you know, at the end of the day, right? Not my will, but yours to be done, and say, okay, wherever you, whatever this unscripted journey looks like, pun intended.
Thank you.
You know, that's the goal. And so we wouldn't be here talking today if you hadn't been wounded as a young man.
Yeah.
So I'm thankful.
Well, I'm thankful because I've met incredible people like yourself. Honestly, and somehow, how did this episode become about me? That's how I'm wondering. Like right now, how did we get this? All right, let's talk about you for a while because I want to get off the couch for a bit. I want to switch seats and let you lay on the couch and talk about you for a bit. So let's talk about your podcast. Why did you get in the world of podcasting and tell us all about it, man? 200 something episodes? It's a marathon.
278. I tell guys all the time that it takes a really long time to become an overnight success.
Does.
And so, you know, we're grinding away. I'm super thankful. I've got a group of people on my team now. I had this old lieutenant colonel who I used to work for in the Army used to say, soldiers, it's your systems that make you successful. And so, so, you know, we've gotten to 278 episodes because of the systems. And, you know, we podcast very specifically with two or three people in mind. Mm-hmm. You know, we've got our avatars, and for the Reclamation podcast, which is my primary podcast, it's all about reclaiming practices for life and leadership in Christ. And so I just know that right now there's a Christian leader who's sitting in his office looking out the window on a Friday afternoon, and he's going, is this all there is to it?
Mm.
Right? Is this what God wants me to do? Is this how I'm supposed to live out my faith? Is there supposed to be more? Right. And so, you know, I podcast for the guy who's lost in his identity. Mm. And I podcast for that young mom who's juggling three things while working a white collar job and wants the best and wants to be the boy mom and wants to be the workout mom and wants to be the fun mom and the cool mom and the sports mom. Right. And so I love the podcast for the person who feels overwhelmed and isn't sure how God fits into every other compartment of their life.
Hey everyone, this is Caitlin. Did you know that the Unscripted Podcast is a part of a larger group called the Unscripted Collective? The Unscripted Collective is a team committed to building websites, podcast coaching, and even has a merchandise warehouse for podcasters and organizations. Find out more at myunscripted.com. Reach out today to find out how we can help you in your organization too. Visit myunscripted.com. Now let's go back to today's interview.
And then, you know, I always podcast for the person who wants to give their legacy away. Mm. You know, you've built something, you've done something, you've been successful. You're a leader who's at the top of their game. And now they wrestle with this question that's so unnerving, which is, now what?
Yeah.
And so we talk about what it means to reclaim practices for life and leadership in Christ. And I mean, heck, the episode that dropped this week is with Instagram influencer and entrepreneur Jamie Nado. Jamie's, if you ever watch her stuff, she created this huge Instagram following by going into Target and talking about the things that are on the clearance rack. Right. And just making spoofs about them and then going into the dressing room and trying them on and making fun of herself. Mm. And I'll never forget, I interviewed her and I said, Jamie, what made you want to do this? And she goes, I just thought about the one person. My one person is the mom who's so overwhelmed. And she goes, and I prayed to God and I asked God for wisdom. And God said, just go be your awkward, funny self. Mm. And man, I just imagine that all three of those leaders that I mentioned, when they hear Jamie say something like that, they're like, I can do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can do that in Jesus's name. And man, for me, that's when we reclaim something we didn't have before.
Is it most of it interview format or is it you just speaking?
Yeah. Interview format. I did last year for a whole year. I did monologue episodes as well. Mm-hmm. And we're actually starting next week. We're going to go back to some monologue episodes. I'm going to call them. This is breaking stuff. Nobody else knows this yet. But here we are. If we have a bell, let's ring it.
I don't.
Me either. Sorry. I'm going to do these things called the deep dive, and mm-hmm. and where I love to reflect on the podcast episode after it's published. And so I'm going to do the interview, and then the following week or later in the week, I'm going to do a 15 minute or less monologue episode, a deep dive into one part of the conversation.
Mm, right. I love that idea.
I mean, for me, it's a point back to the other content that I've created. It's an alignment. I think it's basically 15 minutes is a commute, right? For most of my audience, you know, so I wanted to give my three leaders who I podcast for something to listen to on the drive to work in case they aren't listening to the full 40 minute interview episode. So that'll start again next week, actually.
I love that. I really do. As a fellow podcaster, I love that because, and not even for the, you know, the more clicks or more things like that. When I hang up from this episode today, I've already thought through it and I'm not a brag, 250 episodes.
Yeah.
You know, man, there's been many where I had to get off and just when I was done and just marinate on the conversation because a lot of the people I didn't know before we got on and it was unscripted. I didn't even know what we'd get into. And then I had to process for a bit. I really, really like that idea. That's a fantastic idea.
It's, you know, one of the things that I really believe for anybody in the work world is that if you can do what you love and do more of it and make it easier, right? So. Yeah. There's a great book by author Dan Martell called Buy Back Your Time. Mm. And in the book, he talks about this formula. What can you do that only you can do? right? And then what can you do to outsource? And then a buddy of mine, Jay Meyer, who was on my podcast, he talks about this word called TACA, right? What can you terminate, automate, consolidate, and outsource, right? So tacos are great. Everybody loves a taco. Taco Tuesday or Friday or whatever, right? So yeah, that's kind of, that's my podcast. And in a perfect world, every episode hits something for those people. And I have a couple of anchor questions that I always start and end the show with. And it's fun. I love it. And man, blown away by the number of people that I've gotten talked to over the years.
So that's one, but you have, did you mention three? There's two others?
I do have three.
So yeah. What's the other two?
The one is called the Practitioners Podcast, and my buddy Justin Gravett and I do it, and it's all about Jesus style disciple making, and we partner with the Navigators Church Ministries. It's powered by the Navs, and so thankful for them. And if you're somebody who's like, man, I want to make disciples, but I don't know how, what we've done is we do seasons in that particular podcast, and there's about 25, 30 episodes a season. We're on our fourth season right now, and what we're doing is creating a toolbox of resources for disciple makers who want to dive into the niches of what it means to make disciples who can make disciples, right? One of the things that we say is that, you know, we live out the great commandment by fulfilling the great commission, right? So we love each other fully when we make disciples who can make disciples. So that's my second one. And the third one is one I do called the Spirit and Truth Podcast, and it's all about spirit-led leadership. And so I'm a co-host on that one. I'm not always on it, but we dive deep into some of the conversations about what does your calling mean? You know, you're called for a season, or you're called to a faithfulness, right? Or we'll talk about Sabbath or rest, and all from this kind of perspective of the ministry leader who's in the throes of what it means to run a church or a nonprofit or lead and wants to be led by the Holy Spirit every step of the way. So those are the three that have my heart and take up a ton of my time. And
right.
Again, super thankful for systems. And I have a really good editor who I found when he was in college, and he's just stuck with me, Caleb Stanton. He's one of the best. And so, and honestly, I'm using a little AI now, and that helps, mm-hmm. All the little things help, right?
Yeah. I need to get me one of those, not the AI, but the little editor. I need to get one of those.
So true confession. I pay an editor, and I pay an executive assistant, a VA, a virtual executive assistant. Mm-hmm. So I pay her 4 hours a week, and I pay him for, an episode at a time. And I don't really need to do much editing on the solo episode. So
yeah,
right. Four episodes a month, and he makes me sound really smart.
Yeah. Yeah. They do great work. Like I said, I need to get one, cause I probably don't sound smart most of the time. I'm not sure how much of that could be fixed with AI, man. I know AI is really intelligent, but no, it is important. So there are a lot of tools, and maybe someday we'll have to come on and just talk about tools
that
are available and tools that we use. So hey, we got to do this again. We really do. Cause I know I've taken a lot of your time on a Friday. Run down those three podcasts for me again by name so that everybody listening can know where to find those.
Sure. The Reclamation Podcast with Tony Meltenberger, Practitioners Podcast, and the Spirit and Truth Podcast.
Okay.
So those are my
probably
three
all the platforms,
big,
right?
Yeah, all the platforms. And you can find me online and at TWMilt, TWMILT. Oh. And I actually, my website is twmilt.com. So you can find all the podcasts there too. There's not that many Tony Meltenbergers, believe it or not. It's not, there's me and some real estate guy in Seattle who I love following. He's got some big deals going all the time. So when I Google myself to find something, I'm like, oh, hey, look, Tony's closed another deal. But what a tangent.
Well, there's another Aaron Conrad in Lancaster, Ohio, just down the road, that's a lawyer. And so I've had some interesting emails come my way. So, man, this has been awesome. It's been an awesome Friday.
It's been so fun.
And it's been such a good way to wrap up a week. And hopefully people have gotten something out of this. They'll get far more out of this one than they will when I'm on yours, because I just don't bring that much value
more credit
to
than
it.
That.
I'm not sure how much, but it is great to meet you. And anytime Chris calls me and says, hey, I got somebody you got to meet, I know that they're going to be amazing. He has never let me down, and he speaks way more highly of me than probably deserve. But Chris is a good one, and it was just an honor to meet you today.
Yeah, likewise. And I can't wait to have you on the Reclamation Podcast and get to know your story a little bit better.
We did a therapy session on this one. So last time, man, give me those three podcasts one more time, and then the links where they can find you online.
Yeah. Reclamation Podcast, the Practitioners Podcast, and the Spirit and Truth Podcast. And the easiest place to find me is at twmilt.com, T-W-M-I-L-T. And Aaron, I'm really thankful for this connection today, and can't wait to see what God does next.
Yeah, absolutely, man. We'll have to have a lot more conversations offline. I'm looking forward to it. Go Elks.
Go Elks.
Hey, as long as they're not playing my Davids and Wildcats, go Elks. Thanks a lot, man. Great having you on.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Unscripted Podcast. Make sure to review and share wherever you listen to your podcast. It really helps out our mission to encourage everyone to live life unscripted. Until next time, keep living life unscripted.